time for Lickin' on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now here's your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
In today's hot topic, we have myself, Andy, and Joe, and we're going to be listening to a short interview that Dave conducted with Bronwyn Morrissey. Bronwyn is an executive business coach and CEO founder at BronwynMorrissey.com, and she has been in the mortgage industry for 27 years. She is very passionate about working with people to guide them into the new ways of approaching and thinking about business and life. I have worked with Bronwyn. We both spoke together at the education symposium that was held by the Mortgage Bankers Association at the national conference in October. I think we're on the docket to do that again this coming year as well. And we get a lot of great feedback. It was really great to get to know her and learn about her work. She speaks very well, is very relatable to the mortgage industry, and can really help move companies into that culture talk. So you're going to hear her talk a little bit about that. So Dave interviews Bronwyn to get her perspective on the Empower event, which Bronwyn has now attended for the third time. So she was there at the inaugural event. You can hear the enthusiasm that Bronwyn has for women to share their voices, and she also shares some really great tactics and habits for women to consider how to develop themselves personally and professionally. I hope, too, that the men who listen to this also recognize that a little bit about what Empower is. It isn't male bashing. It isn't, you know, men excluded. It is just about a support network, and I think Bronwyn articulates that very well.
I am excited to be here at the Empower event, and we have another person that just walked over and introduced herself. I've met her before in her previous life, before she became an executive coach, and her name is Bronwyn Morrissey.
Yes. Perfect.
Bronwyn Morrissey.
Yeah.
Good. Bronwyn, good to see you. The last time we met, you were with Arch MI, and we were at the top of a beautiful building in Boston and talking to David Gansberg and Andrew Rippert. And it was just a great conversation. I'm so glad you had a chance to come over to the booth and record some comments. I'm really interested in hearing what you're doing, but first, before we get into what you're doing, I want to hear also about what you thought of the Empower event today. Everyone's been exclaiming about it, so tell me about it. Your experience here.
My experience, so this is the third time I was at the inaugural in Boston, and we actually had a dinner too when we were there. And I went last year in Denver. I'm from Boulder, Colorado, and so I was lucky to also go to that event. And this event has been a really good, I'd say, reignition of the enthusiasm around the women stepping up and being more bold in mortgage banking in particular, playing big. How do we share our voices? How do we be proud as a group? And most importantly, how do we collaborate and support each other in doing that?
Yes.
Letting go of any competition or I'm better than you. And so it's been really, really great. And what I've noticed is, I mean, Mika was wonderful. What I'll say too is that Marsha, you know, obviously this is her baby and she's done such an amazing job and there's a lot of enthusiasm around it, right?
Right, yes.
And at the beginning, when she opened up, she was talking about her sister and introducing that connection. And what I loved was she was vulnerable with us.
Yeah.
Right? She became emotional because she has such a strong connection with her sister.
Yes.
And I thought that was so inspiring for her to give permission to other people to share their true selves, to be raw and real.
I think anyone who gets raw and real and bearing things out, there's obviously raw and real can go in a wrong direction.
Yes.
I'm talking about appropriate wrong and real. We're burying our hearts. And I think that's the thing that's so needed. We've gotten too stodgy. It's become an old white man's a good old boy school network, as we've heard numerous times. It's so good to see that is changing. And Marsha's initiative here with Empower is doing so much towards that.
It is.
I'm glad to hear you were talking about this as it's transforming. Or is it transforming lives, or is it really just opening up an opportunity for them to be bolder and empowering. How would you characterize this?
I think that this is the doorway for people to step through to begin their own journey of being transformed and empowered, right? This is where people can learn certain concepts. But what I see is that there could be a way for there to be further action mm-hmm. from here. So in one of the talks today, one of the gentlemen was talking about in order to change our own behaviors and patterns, you need to, I think he said, repeat something about 21 times, which yeah. I agree. Like, how do you create new habits of us stepping out of our own ways of self-doubt and stopping ourselves, our lack of confidence or playing small in the world? Well, that takes doing something again and again and yeah. again. And so I think this is a great trampoline, if you will.
Great way to put it. Yeah, I like
for
that.
People to start to step into, how do I develop myself personally and professionally so that I can play bigger in the world?
Well, that's what you're now doing is helping others do that. And I want to get into talking about that. So tell us about the leadership and executive coaching that you're doing.
So it's been a really fun journey. Even though I was in mortgage banking for 27 years, for the last 10 or 11 years, I really did a lot of my own journey of how do I develop myself? I'm a lifelong learner, student. Okay. I can't get enough of reading development books and personal development, professional development, leadership books. And so when I had the opportunity to start my own company almost 2 years ago, I really decided that I wanted to work particularly with women, and I also work with companies and their culture, as well as helping people with really the bottom line with all of it is helping people change their perceptions and their beliefs and their thought patterns in order to be more powerful in the world. Where are we stopping ourselves?
Yes, and that's the key. Where are we stopping ourselves? Because more times, I dare say it's 80% us and 20% circumstances outside of it.
I believe that, and I agree 100%. Because
I arbitrarily picked those percentages. Would you agree with those percentages or somewhere around there?
It's a high percentage. Let's look at this. Like, right, we're going into a market right now that's really challenging. Mm-hmm. And so people are starting to get from a place of fear, scarcity. Something's wrong, there's a problem, they're going to be in either a victim mentality or a fear-based or an angry mentality. You cannot be creative and productive when you come from that place.
Exactly right.
If you're putting all the responsibility on all these outside circumstances that are happening versus taking responsibility for yourself and realizing that you have the power to do whatever you want, those types of people can take advantage in a market like this and be incredibly successful.
Yes.
When other people are kind of focused on what's wrong and pitting themselves and not doing a good job.
Yeah, I think that is really good. I think it's one of those things how to be able to coach people through that. And
yeah.
What are the principles, what are the processes that you walk through and helping people be that?
Well, one of the things I do with all of my clients is I have them take what's called an energy leadership assessment.
Energy leadership assessment. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. And it's short. It's called ELI, so Energy Leadership Index Assessment.
Index.
And what it does is it is really a good indicator for people for how they show up, their beliefs, thoughts, and behaviors, as well as their energy around under normal circumstances, and it shows under stressful circumstances. Nice. And so it gives us metrics for how much they show up in these different areas,
yeah.
7 levels of leadership. And
I love that, yeah.
And from there, you can really have a baseline when you're coaching people of making sure that they get out of fear-based mentality or victim mentality in stressful circumstances, and where they can really come from, how do I really look for the opportunity? And how do I get out of my own story about things are hard, for example, and have a more positive outlook? Like, there's opportunity everywhere. There's possibilities everywhere. We just have to start looking for them.
Yeah, that's so
and that's
true.
What I work with people on.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So give us some success stories on what you've done. Do you have a story that comes to mind? I love the stories.
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the things that I do is I was taking women on leadership retreats, actually, in the Grand Canyon.
Oh.
And there were
what
women.
What an inspirational place.
It's an amazing place. And when you're in a situation, like a physical situation like that, these are sometimes executive or leadership women, you still are bumping up against your fears, right? And so when they were able to apply being able to get beyond their physical fears around, can I actually hike in and out of the Grand Canyon all the way and get out of the Grand Canyon, to their lives. Some of the women that have gone through that experience with me have completely transformed their lives.
Wow.
Like one woman actually started her own business and is doing something similar where she's helping people get beyond their own fears. Yeah, so that's been a lot of fun. And then on the mortgage banking side, I've definitely have people who have either been promoted where they didn't think they could be, or I've had people that have also doubled their production because of the way that they are now perceiving the marketplace, even when things are quote unquote challenging for them.
That's excellent.
Because they're looking at it from a different perspective. They know they can do it, and they're realizing that they're 100% responsible, not the outside external circumstances that are, you know, stopping them, which really they aren't.
We talked about being bold, being emboldened to step up and step through different things. Talk about that a little bit. When you are encouraging or coaching people to step through, what does that involve?
I'm going to talk about women, for example, since we're at the Empower event. So
that's exactly what
I do a couple things. I do women's tribes that I put together.
Women's tribes. I love it.
Yeah, it's called B-Tribes.
B-Tribes.
And B-Tribes.com. And then I do mastermind groups. And one of the things that I notice the most is one of the disempowering things we do is our language. Right, there's some of the words that we use.
That's so true.
You know, it was mentioned today using the word sorry, constantly apologizing for ourselves. Mika mentioned that, which I agree with 100%. And we're always diminishing ourselves. If you listen to some of the language, it's kind of surprising. Like, oh, you know, even taking headshots today, people saying, "Oh, I don't look good in front of a camera," or this or on that, negative things. And when we talk about ourselves that way, really, it can impact the way we think about ourselves and the way we physically show up in the world. So are we standing taller? Are we being small and we're crossing our arms and we're diminishing ourselves and knocking other people out? So there's that physical aspect to it.
That is the nonverbal and the verbal. I mean, we're sending signals all the time, communicating how we think of ourselves, you know, how we want people to speak to us. It's great that you're bringing this out. What are some of the things that you're seeing is the things that are imprison people from moving forward? What are those things that you help them through?
Well, it's always themselves.
If you could dive into that a little bit more, I'm really fascinated by that.
Yeah, a lot of it is the way we communicate with each other.
So it's that what you were just talking about. It is that communication.
Yeah, it's back to communication now, beyond like the physical, right, and the words we use. It's also a lot of times we set up expectations. We expect people to show up a certain way, but what we don't do is have a conversation with them specifically around creating co-agreements with them. So what that means is that, for example, I work with managers and they may think, well, I told, you know, my employee Joe to do X, Y, and Z, but then they didn't actually do it, or they didn't do it in the time frame I thought they would do it.
Right.
And then the conversation is, did you actually talk to them about what the requirements were? Did you say it was due by Friday at 5 o'clock?
Right.
And did you agree to that? You know, they think it's understood, but it might not be understood. And so then the coaching around that would be, what would you do next time? Would be go back and coach them around talking to that person and saying, could you agree to get that done by 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
The other person might come back and say, I can't do it by 5 o'clock. It's not physically possible, but I could get it to you by, you know, the next day at 2 p.m. And then you have an agreement. What would it take to get it by 5? Well, I need more help. So then you have an agreement, and then it's much less likely there's going to be disappointments and upsets in organizations. And that goes for, you know, loan officers calling on realtors and having expectations with the borrowers, getting documentations back, you know, all of those things. There's really clear agreements and communication that we need to have that is missing often.
Yeah. That's what we're saying. How do you bring that about in an organization? First of all, it's creating an awareness of the importance of that.
Yeah.
And then I'm really fascinated with it because this is one of the topics that I consult in and do some coaching on. So I want to hear, and I want what I believe is those of us that are doing the same thing, we need to get to gather. And I like open kimono. Everything I've got, I want to share with you. And I hope I want to create an environment of open thinking or an open knowledge or open source code, I guess, so to speak, of what we're doing, what's working. We use the Berkman assessment is what we use in ours. And I look at, first of all, the various personality types, sanguine, phlegmatic, choleric, and then we have all the communication styles on top of that. Where, I mean, it's a complex Rubik's Cube of how we're wired. And learning how someone, what their language is so important. One thing, where we speak in that. But then also that someone like a sanguine is going to want to be talked to differently than a phlegmatic. And all the various, or a choleric. And when you understand the various personality types of who you're trying to communicate with, that, at least that's what I'm seeing in it. And we have a consultant, Berkman consultant, that works inside of our group that goes out and helps people to understand their personality types. And then we have another learning style person that comes in instead of you trying to train someone on top of that. So I'm interested, I'm hungry to learn as much as we can and share as much of that as we can with the industry because it's needed.
I agree. I agree 100%. It's kind of like, it sounds like Berkman, I am a little familiar with that. There's DISC. Also,
yeah, there's this, yeah.
Right, and so are they direct? Are they introvert? You know, how do you communicate with different people based on their styles? And a lot of it's around your listening and their listening for each other. How do you generously listen to each other? How do you create collaboration that way? And you were asking about organizations, and one of the main things is that oftentimes, you know, you're brought in by the leader and they're like, something's going on with my team. Either they're not productive or we're not collaborating or, you know, there's disruption or dysfunction in some way. But it's always the leader who needs to set the stage, right? They're the ones who have to be even more collaborative, even more communicative, listen more deeply and be direct with their employees. And back to those agreements, like setting up very clear agreements. Otherwise, things fall to the side or they're not functioning the way they should.
This has really been encouraging. I mean, delighted that you're out there helping this industry and really focusing in on women to really help them. I mean, I'm sure you're focusing on anybody that will recognize the need for improved communication and coaching. So how can people get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me on my website. It's just BronwynMorrissey.com. I'm also doing some programs with the MBA next year. I'm going to be doing a manager's loan officer's coaching program with them.
Awesome.
Yeah, specifically.
Talk about that. How can people learn more about it? Is it going to be on a website?
It's on my website. It's connected with the MBA.
Okay.
It's on the MBA's website through the education channel.
Excellent. Are you doing, is it through webinar type?
Actually, how it works is we're going to do an assessment, like I mentioned, a leadership assessment, and then we're going to do a 1.5-day workshop, and starts in April, and then there will be 6 months of coaching. So that's where you get into the customization and the individualization around what each individual manager needs to accomplish and what's the result they want to get to, and you coach from there.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
That's going to be great. That's coming out in 2019.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Can't wait to learn more about it. Check it out. Thank you for joining us here today. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So for those of you who are just tuning in, this is Alice Alvey filling in for David Licken today. We just listened to an interview that Dave had with Bronwyn Morrissey at the Empower event that was around the same time as the Mortgage Bankers Conference last October. And what I'd like to do is a couple of things. First of all, just I hope everyone was able to pick up on how it is about, you know, a lot of what Bronwyn talked about was really global across the company, right? Isn't male or female. They're just ways to make sure that we all are better communicators. I love the point that she makes about creating co-agreements and even about how to potentially bring this into your organization. So I'd love to open up the floor to Andy and Joe. Andy, I'll start with you. I know we exchanged a few emails ahead of time, and in your segment, you talked a little bit about career design, and I'd just love to get your thoughts on the ideas of Empower and organizations now trying to focus more on leadership building and making sure that's right for women and women resources as well.
Sure, absolutely. So this is a super complicated topic because it's impacted by individual psyche. So people's feelings about themselves, people's feelings about others, deeply seated feelings that can date back to childhood. frankly, can be hugely impactful in some of this because we can create our own obstacles. We can believe that we're not worth being heard. We can also believe others aren't worth being listened to. It's astounding to me how frequently I see that, where people say they're listening, but they really aren't. And it's just horribly disrespectful. But there's a reason why it's more important for the person to think about what they want to say next than to listen intently to what the other person is saying. So one other element that can be helpful in this, aside from all the things they've talked about, is Toastmasters. So Toastmasters is an organization that allows people to practice public speaking. Part of the challenge that people have in career path development is, aside from self-inflicted obstacles, is not fully developed communication capabilities. And some of that can be worked on. It can be very unpleasant at first, but to achieve higher levels in a career is more than just being good at your job. It's also being articulate in your ability to communicate your ideas and your thoughts about your job or anything else in the business world. So part of that can be enhanced through Toastmasters. So much here to talk about to get people to overcome what they think about themselves. But that's my thought on that for now, Alice.
Thank you so much. I think that's fantastic, right? You really just, I think, hit the nail on the head for everybody to understand a big part of what this is. And we've been using the line a lot lately, even between my husband and I, going, are you listening to hear or are you listening to respond?
Yes,
and then
exactly.
Throwing in Bronwyn's generously listen. Yeah, that's great. I love the referral for Toastmasters too, because that is something we're opening up for some of our future leaders here, is for them to get some public speaking training, because as you said, communication is a big key of it. Joe, how about you? Any thoughts on the Empower segment?
Well, I'm glad that you brought up the point that it had a whole lot more to do with the individual than it did whether that individual was a man or a woman. And I look back or think back upon the leaders in the organizations I was involved with, it always had to do with character. It had to do with results. It had to do with, do you lead people in the right direction? Never did it have to do with whether it's a man or a woman. So I think it really does just get back to the fundamentals of, are you confident in what you do? Are you able to lead people, again, in the right direction, not in the wrong directions? And are you able to produce results? We have a very easy industry for measuring things. There's, whether it's value creation or quality or quantity, it's an easy industry to do that in. And so I think that there's an easy path for anyone that can achieve those results.
I agree, and I agree with your assessment of this industry. There are lots of opportunities for everyone, and a lot of us are examples of that. So thank you very much, both of you, for your thoughts on that. I know we're just a couple minutes over our time, but I can't resist having both of you and giving you some dedicated airtime on the market. It is crazy, and every day there's discussions about portfolio retention and, you know, how do we manage that? Refis come in the door when, you know, as you heard on this audio recording that was made last October, there were some lenders who were thinking whether they were going to hang on into Q2 if things stayed like they did in Q4 and Q1 of last year. So now we've had this complete turnaround, and I'd love to hear your perspective on the market and rate volatility and what it's doing for lenders right now. So, Joe, can I start with you? Yield inversion,
sure.
I think. We were going to leave on your plate.
Yeah, yield inversion. the definition of that, I'm sure everyone knows, it's when the short end of the yield curve yields exceed the long end, and it's typically measured in, for mortgage banking, or the typical measure is the 2-year Treasury note versus the 10-year. And briefly, last Wednesday, the 2-year note had a higher yield than the 10-year note. And it was like a basis point or two difference. Now we have seen that the spread between the two, the 10-year has exceeded the 2-year, typically over the last few months by maybe 20, 25 basis points. And the spread has begun to narrow. And in fact, it did go negative, but it has since widened back out. Now it's only about 5 or 6 basis points now. But I think there's been a lot made about this being a precursor to a recession. And truly, I think that there's so many other things affecting that are sort of controllable things, or like the whole trade issues, the trade wars. That's sort of a created an event and something that could be resolved fairly quickly. I don't know that the trade differences will be resolved fairly quickly, but the impact of the trade situation on the economy could be corrected fairly quickly. And so, I don't think that we're totally at a point where the inversion is a precursor to a recession. I think that the last four or five recessions have been preceded by an inverted yield curve. But typically it's been it takes a longer term yield curve inversion, I think, to really sway the market to the point where an expected recession is on the way. I don't think we're there yet, so I don't know how long the current yield environment's going to stay the way it is. You mentioned refis coming in. Right now, the markets have moved so much, they're coming in last week and they're gone somewhere else this week. So I know it's putting a lot of pressure on secondary apartments right now, trying to anticipate how much to sell forward, how much their pull-through rates are going to be. But, I don't think we're at a point where we need to completely adjust our staffing requirements based on today's current volume, and we need to wait and see just how long and how low rates will go.
That's great insight. Thank you. And it's aligned with what we've heard, folks talking about here. Andy, what would you like to add to that?
Well, Joe made a lot of good points, and there's a lot of complexity in and around it. I think where it comes driving home to independent mortgage companies, or any mortgage lender for that matter, is the volatility of the refinance transaction. So if you've got a pipeline filled with refis and the rates are going up, rates are going down, what happens when rates start to drop again? And your customers all go, I want a lower rate, I want a lower rate. You've got it either locked on best efforts or you've got it in your TBA pool. And so what are you going to do? Because if you lose it, then you lose all the gain on sale. But if you reprice, and now you're going to get less yield, and you might even get a loss, but some's better than none. It's highly complex, and it's important to be communicating the lock policies, the extension policies, the free flow down policies, and be proactive about it rather than simply digging your heels in. The other side of that is on the MSR side. So preserving the MSR, there's a number of tactics around MSR preservation. It's important to be mindful of this. If your MSR portfolio pays off, you're going to write off your MSR amount, which would be reflected in your books as a loss. And so the way to prevent the MSR from being run off is to preserve the MSR or replace the MSR. And the couple of ways to do that is to be proactive in talking to your customers. When I was at Bank of America, we had a $35 billion portfolio, and one of my jobs was portfolio retention. So we actually actively engage with customers. Now, if you're retaining servicing, but you're using a subservicer, that gets harder to do because your interface with the customer is at the subservicer. So the big guys that are creating MBS and retaining servicing and doing it themselves are in the best position to manage MSR preservation. If you're retaining servicing and subservicing, you're less effective because it's harder to get in front of the customer because you're not the customer service desk that's being called by the customer if they're wanting to do something differently. You also want to monitor the credit score activity and credit pull activity. You can sign up for services where if one of your customers has a credit pull, a mortgage credit pull, it will notify you of the event, and you can then contact the customer and talk to them about that to save the MSR. Now, there's a new strategy that's coming out more and more where some of the subservicers are allowing the servicers to have more access to the data, including supporting certain functions, potentially even customer service. So there's just a lot of detail around this, but it's important to be mindful of the rate volatility is something we've been facing in mortgage lending for a very long time. Back in the 80s, we had mortgage rates at 13, 14, even 16% at one point, back in 1981.
Yep.
And then it dropped to 12 by the 90s, and then 10 and 8 and 7 and 4 and 3. And so this is just a part of life, but you have to be proactive in managing it. So there you go, Al. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Andy, and thanks for reminding me of when I got in the business and I had a fixed rate at one point of 21%. When rates went down to single digits, everybody thought it was miraculous. So, yes, Joe, back to you.
Just be aware of the fact that what we're seeing rate and yield movement in is typically treasury instruments. And treasury instruments are more volatile in this regard. They're preferred over mortgage-backed security instruments because, as Andy pointed out, mortgage-backed security instruments have prepayment abilities to it. But as a result, we're seeing big movements in treasuries that aren't necessarily consistent with what we're seeing in mortgage-backed security prices. So as your customers hear about this big drop in, treasury yields have fallen far more than mortgage-backed security yields have. So they're reading about a 40 basis point drop in yield over the last month. That's not happened in mortgages. And the same is true like today. Treasury prices are off more than mortgage-backed security prices are. So just as you're discussing things with your customers, just know that because of that prepayment ability on the mortgage-backed security, investors are much preferring an instrument that's got the certainty of no prepayment, and that is in the form of treasury instruments.
Exactly.
Thank you. Thanks for the clarification, Joe. Well, lots for people to listen back to 3 and 4 times, and I think we'll need another show to be able to cover that. We have gone way over our time. Thank you both for chiming in. That's it for this week. Thanks for tuning in to the Lickin' on Lending Show. Please tell your colleagues about the show. That said, I just want to make sure we thank our sponsors for making this podcast possible, and that is Black Knight, Open Mortgage, Finastra, Resex Warehouse Lending, a division of United Bank, the Mortgage Bankers Association, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, the CMLA, Velma, the Knowledge Coop, Vidyard, and A1 Assist. Thanks for listening, everyone, and have a great week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.
You just heard an audio clip from Lickin' on Lending, and here are the sponsors that make this show possible.
I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Black Knight, Open Mortgage, Finastra, Resax, Warehouse Lending Division, as well as the MBA, Lenders One, Mortgage Collaborative, CMLA, Velma, Knowledge Coop, Vidyard, and AI Assist.